So let's start. So our next talk is about two very interesting worlds, broadcast and WebRTC. Please welcome Dan.
Thanks, everyone. Merging two worlds, broadcast and WebRTC. I'm Dan Jenkins. I've been doing stuff with WebRTC for probably just over 10 years now. And I guess very recently, I've been more involved in, air quote, broadcast. And there are other ways that you can talk to me. Email, Twitter, that thing that's about to die, and Mastodon. Merging two worlds, broadcast and WebRTC. So I guess to talk about WebRTC and broadcast, we need a few definitions of some of the things we're going to talk about. So WebRTC, what is WebRTC? How many in the room know about how WebRTC really works? Hands up. Okay, about 25% of you. So that's good. So WebRTC is encrypted by default, sub-second glass to glass, it's open source completely, two-way communications, no defined signaling, which is kind of a good thing, and it's got a load of required codecs that you have to implement to be compliant. I use the word compliant. I don't think anyone's actually going, you're not compliant, but hopefully they will one day. It's embedded in every single browser, so that's the key thing here. Every single phone in every single pocket can do WebRTC without having to download anything. And that is the key thing. You can use your own codecs, but you can't use them from within a browser today. You could build something natively and use your own codec, but takes away some of the magic. Delivery is over UDP, and it's got a load of NAT-busting stuff with what we call ICE. There's one main thing called libWebRTC that everyone talks to everyone else about as though it's WebRTC. It's not. There's libWebRTC provided by Google, but they don't really provide it anymore as pre-built stuff. But then there are loads of other open source, independent versions available in many different languages. No signaling defined in the spec, so that's a big thing here. It was a good thing when it got made, when WebRTC first kind of became a thing. We'll come back to that later. So then there's SRT. SRT is a secure, reliable transport. How many people in the room use SRT or know how SRT works? Probably about 25%, but it was a different 25% than before, mostly. Again, it's open source. It's used heavily in the broadcasting industry. It is UDP based. It really requires native apps, no browsers involved at all. It can be encrypted optionally. Most people use it encrypted, but you can use it without. And it is completely and utterly codec agnostic. But again, there are usually predefines that people use. It can be sub-second, but usually it's not. And it can be used within across the internet or within a LAN. NDI, how many people in the room have used NDI and know how it works? About 25%, some of the same crowd again. So network device interface. I mean, who came up with a stupid name like that? Like, network device interface. So what am I actually doing? I always forget what it's actually referring to. It is not open source. And it comes in multiple forms. So there's pure NDI, which gives you like a huge amount of data. Then there's HX, HX2, and HX3. Designed to work only within a LAN. Yes, you can make NDI kind of work across the internet now, but it's not really NDI, right? It's actually using WebRTC to do some of the magic. Ultimately, it's designed to work within a LAN, and it's not open source, but it is free to use, but the licensing is a little bit confusing some of the times. It's a bit of a weird one. But again, it is hugely popular. And yes, it uses UDP as well. All the good things with media use UDP, right? Then there's RIST. How many people have actually used RIST? Okay. How many people understand how RIST actually works? So for the recording, I don't know, 1% of the room, 2% of the room. So RIST is actually really quite interesting. It is reliable internet stream transport. And to be honest, I've never used it, but I had to learn how it actually works to be able to confidently talk about it in front of you guys. So again, it's open source, it's UDP based, it is encrypted, it's RTP based, and it's relatively new in the grand scheme of things. And it can work within a WAN or a LAN. The other forms of media transport are not worth talking about right now because they're not really real time. And I know some of you are going to look at me and go, But bear with me. So merging two worlds, WebRTC and broadcast, and broadcast and WebRTC. They're two worlds that have not really come together in the past 10 years. I know lots of people from the broadcast industry look at WebRTC as a dirty thing. It doesn't do this and it doesn't do that. But hopefully that's all changing for the better, right? So they can now live in harmony. Hopefully. Maybe. So because of something called WIP and WEP. So let's take a look at WIP and WEP. WIP stands for the WebRTC HTTP Ingestion Protocol. And this is how it works. I'm not going to bore you going through that. But, I mean, ultimately, there's an HTTP request, request response, and then media flows. It should be as simple as that, right? Then there's WEP, which is the WebRTC HTTP egress protocol. Kind of looks similar, right? So that's really great. And then there's this third one called WOW. WebRTC HTTP offer answer protocol. I wish it did exist. I think it would be really cool, but it doesn't exist. I messaged the author of both WIP and WEP this morning and went, we can just get rid of WIP and WEP and just have